Good morning, everyone. God is good, and all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather again on another cold, wintry Sunday. There should be a guest book in the pew, and if you've signed that, please, as it comes your way. And we greet all those that are with us online as well. Lots of announcements working through. Today is a couple things. One is I want to thank anybody and everybody who's brought some food items. There's some here to supply our pantry. And then there is the luncheon afterwards, a Super Bowl luncheon. So if you're able to stay and come downstairs and grab something to eat before you go home, everyone is welcome to do that. This Wednesday is the lunch bunch as well. Lunch will be provided, so that's 12 to 2. So if you're can be able to be there, we would welcome you as well. The following Wednesday, Lent begins, and that Ash Wednesday service, we'll have services here at noon and at 7. Ashes and communion will be offered at both of those. You'll notice also if you're in the way I am, starting to get your tax stuff together, so the end of year contribution statements are here on the table if you didn't get yours yet. And on the next page, prayer partner list is up here. We will be exchanging prayer partners for Lent, so next Sunday is the deadline for those, so I can hand those out on the first Sunday of Lent. So if you can do that, if you're willing to do that. There's the Lenten discussion group starts that Saturday after Ash Wednesday, and if you haven't signed up, please do so. Laura also has some booklets available today, so if you're part of that group and you want to have a little preview and read ahead, she has those available as well. Are there any other announcements? Oh, I was reminded, I don't normally mention birthdays, but February 10th is Carol Haas and Michael Sullivan. He says they're always birthday twins, but we also know Jeannie in our choir has, I can see you, Jeannie, has a birthday on the 10th. So we have triplets on the 10th. And then Garrett, our young man, he's checking me out through the door as well. His birthday's on the 9th. So if you get a chance to greet them, wish them happy birthday. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's presence to move among us as we prepare to worship God this day.
Thank you. All who are able, please stand and let us join together in the call to worship. God has commissioned us to pay attention,
to notice,
to care, to feel with, and to serve. God has commissioned us to serve by sharing the burdens of injustice with sisters and brothers. God has commissioned us to serve by sharing the oppression of silence. God has commissioned us to serve by sharing our bread, our homes, our money. There is no answer but yes. Yes, I will. Let us worship the God who has called us to serve.
Thank you.
Let us join together in the prayer of adoration and confession. God, our Creator, we who have gathered here today are your children whom you have created, sustained, and brought to this moment. We bless and glorify you for your care and humbling prayer that all our days may be filled with your love. Holy Truth, we confess that too often we choose not to see what is revealed right before us because it calls our own choices into question. We confess that too often we do not hear the cries of the oppressed, the persecuted, the abused, the imprisoned, because their voices challenge us to look beyond our own comfort. We confess that too often we do not speak the truth we know because it would upset our friends, our family, or our colleagues. Grant us the courage and the faith to act as your incarnate self, even in our weaknesses and fear and trembling. In the name and honor of all the faith who have gone before us, we ask this blessing. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hear the good news. By love and grace of God, we are forgiven of our sin and counted worthy to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. Indeed, God depends upon us to be the bearers of the good news so that others may know the same freedom from guilt and sin which we ourselves have received. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. The first scripture reading today is from the letters of Paul in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the testimony of God to you with superior speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were made not with persuasive words or wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are being destroyed. But we speak God's wisdom, a hidden mystery, which God decreed before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age understood. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends that is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the Word, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolish to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Continue to hear from God's word. We're going to hear from the Gospel of Matthew in the second chapter, verses 13 to 20. Last week we heard the first 12 verses, which we called the Beatitudes, and we continue reading as we continue in the lectionary readings for cycle A. These are Jesus' words. He's going to talk a little bit about salt and light, and he's going to talk about the law and the prophet. So hear what Jesus says according to Matthew. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, and a city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it will give light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. May God bless this reading, hearing, and the understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. And sometimes I think we hear scripture so often that sometimes we become immune to what it really says to us or what the words are that Jesus is trying to convey to us. But if we listen to them again, after hearing what Jesus said to someone else, as long as I am in the light of the world, I am the light of the world. So in that verse, Jesus uses the word light to describe something of his substance, of his radiance, of his witness to the world. So then when he says to us, you are the light of the world, he is saying that we are to carry out this radiance, this substance, and this witness. Now, of course, the light that Jesus is calling us to radiate is not our light, but his light, the light of God that comes channeled through us. That's sort of what he's telling us to do. So over the course of time, in the scientific world, all of a sudden, sometimes when they're trying to move light from here to there, they found out about those transparent fibers that could do it. We call them the optical fibers now. So light from one source can get to another, and they found out they can go around corners, they can go into tight little channels, they can go to places where we can't see, but you can still illumine and see what's going on. This technology was very valuable for those inaccessible places. So in a very real sense, if Jesus says, you are the light of the world, sometimes we can take that light into those sometimes inaccessible places, because none of us always go to the same place. Once we leave this place, we all go on our separate ways to different places. We have a chance to share the light with other peoples where it might not go otherwise. Some years ago, there's a story about the Ronald Craig. He got elected moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And his grandson was overheard talking to some friends after the election. He says, my grandfather has just been made the radiator of the church. Well, he's probably more truthful than he thought, even though it was a miscalculation of the words. But we are all called to radiate the light, to radiate the love, to radiate what we know, to witness that way. So I think sometimes I go after my life as a pastor and as a Christian, sometimes thinking, am I really good enough to do this? That God chooses me and God chooses us to share this word, this light, the reality of what this verse speaks to us today. We claim the name of Christ, and it says we are to let our light so shine before people that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. We are to convey that light to someone else who is the source of the light. I have acquired over the course of time, my grandfather on my mother's side was an old German evangelical minister, and he gave me his library. I've got rid of a lot of it, but he read of a lot of the old pastor's sermons, and there was one by the name of Philip Brooks. And he was trying to do a story similar to what I'm trying to share today. But he used the candle as the metaphor. And that's the Christian role of conveying a light. So he pointed out that when a candle is being lit, and he's talking about when they would twist a piece of paper and then fire the paper from there and then take that the light on the paper would be wavering and not very strong. And once the wick got lit on the candle, then that flame became strong and steady and lit up the room. And then he writes, the candle is glorified by the fire, and the fire is manifested by the candle. The two bear witness that they were made for one another by the way in which they fulfill each other's life. So the point is not only that the candle provides the fuel, but is also a visible, concrete point. And so I think he does that. It's the same way we talk about the reason we have those candles lit is that that's the light of Christ that's present with us as we worship. And then the light of Christ is taken out when out into the world just as we go. But the reality is, by itself, the candle's nothing. The fire can't do anything. But together, they become this light in the darkness that is shared with others. So when I think about it, it's an awesome responsibility to either be a candle, or a channel, or an optical fiber, to be that for God's light, because that's what we're being called to do here. And so sometimes I think as we grow in Christ, we often discover that our witness starts to happen naturally. It's part of our makeup of what we do by this inner light that God has given us. And I say that because there was an article that was written about Mother Teresa again, but Malcolm Muggeridge was a fellow who went, and he sort of followed her around. She was in Calcutta, India, and ministered to the very poor. And he writes that her universal love gave her homely features a noticeably luminosity and a shining quality. And when I read about people like that, I think she was an exception. I've known people in my life who have been channels. They weren't those rare saintly people. They were just friends of mine or people that I knew in my neighborhood or people that I've known on my journey. And they clearly glowed with the light sometimes. And so it's not always about those that we think have to be set aside and known by everybody, but sometimes it's just people that we know and that they may be the light of God where they are. So the word I'm choosing today is God-lighted. So what is a God-lighted life? Well, I think it's, first of all, it should just be the way we live. That gives a clear witness of God. Maybe you don't even have to say anything. It's just about how we act and how we move among each other of how we do that. Because it says that God's light is to be seen. It's not talking about having to witness to your faith. Speak. It's talking about being who you are. And I think that's why Jesus talked about a city set on a hill, a lamp on a stand. You know, we all remember that old, you know, this little light of mine, you know, I want to let it shine. Then we go up with it, and you put the bushel basket on, all about what I just read. So, I mean, it's all, that's the whole thing. That was for kids, that's a way to learn to shine the light. But we're not to be the light of the church. That's what Jesus says. It's the light of the world. It's a different way to look at it, about how to understand what we're to be about. And so what that tells me is that the light that we receive from God that we are to share is not just within these walls. It's wherever we go when we leave here. Because we all don't go to the same place. We all have different homes. We all have different places we eat. We all have different places we shop. We have places we gather with our friends. But wherever we are to share that light. And our faith should be the visible way that we treat others. And I've said this before, it could be the waitress, the checkout lady, the person on the street, open a door to let someone walk in before you do. All those little things are just indicators of your faith. And it's visible to what you do. But those are passive ways of witnessing our faith. And then sometimes we have to be more active. And I ran across, and I shared with you before about Carrie Ten Boom, who she was imprisoned by the Nazis during World War II. But I ran across another article similar to about sharing light. And after she was being interrogated by a Lieutenant Roms. And he wanted to know why she felt the way she did. And she had an opportunity one time in talking and speaking with him. And he asked her about her Bible. And her response was, it says that the light has come into the world so that we need no longer walk in the dark. Is there darkness in your life, Lieutenant? She asks. And after a long silence, he confesses, "There is a great darkness. I cannot bear the work that I do." Being a guard in a prisoner camp, or a concentration camp, actually. So then she witnessed and shared about the light that comes to all. And it's not about whether they accept it. See, there's the catch. It's that we share it. We don't expect anything in return. And so the opportunities were very few after that she got to see him. But every time that they did, he tried to do kind things for her as much as he could within that structure. Nobody knows what happened to him after the war. That's an unknown in the story. But in that moment, he got to see the light of God in Carrie. Sometimes we have to be a warning light. And when I say that, I'm thinking more like a lighthouse. You know, sort of to let the ships know that there's bad waters and rocks up to the shore, that you just need to be cautious about what you're doing. Sometimes we have to be the one that says, you know, is that really the right thing to do? Have you thought about other ways and avenues to do this? Sometimes we just have to be that, I call it the voice of reason within whatever's going on in that situation. But we should never forget that this primary calling of God-lighted Christians is to light others. And the best illustration I can give is one that you can all buy into. And if you were here on Christmas Eve night, we start with the Advent wreath and the candles and the two altar candles. And then at the end of the service, when we do the silent night, this year it was Vicky was helping me, so we each got a light off the Christ candle. Then we came down here, the ushers lit candles off our candle, you all lit candles off of their candles, the lights went down, and the room was lit. That's just passing the light. For us up in the chancel, to watch that light go back, that imagery I'm trying to share is you can see it continue. It goes from here to there. And so we pass it. That's the image we are to do, to pass that. I found an illustration, and it's an old one that has been around for a while. I think it's in even one of my grandfather's books he gave me about a teenager. It's when it was a small church, country church. There was a youth leader and a young, what they called hellraiser, young teenage boy in the youth group. And his nickname was Booger. And the youth group leader was what we would call a God-lighted person. And he kept sharing his faith and doing the things. And, you know, those of us who've grown up in the church and in youth group, you understand, you know, you do all those things. And suddenly, somewhere along the line, Booger got lit and got lighted by the light of God. And he changed so much that he was even invited to pray the opening prayer of invocation. And the bulletin that day said, "Prelude, Johann Sebastian Bach. Prayer of invocation, Booger Johnson." And this is the prayer. "Oh God, bless all the men here with long hair, and all those with short hair, all those with no hair, and help them to love each other for Christ's sake. Amen." He's not a famous guy by any stretch of the imagination. An ordinary person who got lit. Later, the ladies were having their Bible study, and someone asked the question, when was the last time they had actually experienced God's presence in church? And some little distinguished grandmother in the corner says, "When Booger Johnson prayed." Because they saw a hellraiser teenage kid come to understand God's presence in his life. And so sometimes that's all it is. It's not the major thing, but we are just to witness and to share. You know, it's not about, I'm not talking about evangelizing. I'm talking about sharing the word. That's what we're to do. And if people want to know more, they will talk to us. They will ask us more. So one light lights another, lights another, lights another, and so on. And the song that always met my need is the one we're going to sing. It's the sermon hymn, "It Only Takes a Spark." I learned that at camp, church camp. I think it came out in the late 60s when it first was written, as I was just getting out of high school. And, you know, but it says, the first verse is, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread his love to everyone. You want to pass it on. That's what we are to be about, my friends. To take the light of the world, channel it through us, share it with those who need to hear it. Pass it on. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is from a New Zealand prayer book. I'm going to ask you, those who are able, to please stand as we affirm our faith and stay standing for our hymn. So together we say, you, O God, are supreme and holy. You create our world and give us life. Your purpose overarches everything we do. You have always been with us. You are God. You, O God, are infinitely generous and good beyond all measure. You came to us before we came to you. You have revealed and proved your love for us in Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again. You are with us now. You are God. You, O God, are Holy Spirit. You empower us to be your gospel in the world. You reconcile and heal. You overcome death. You are our God. We worship you. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there any joys, concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith this morning? If not, you know, there's a list all about the homebound, the folks that are on our prayer list, a lot of things going on there as well. Remember the UCC churches in Northern Kentucky, and our other sister churches as well, always the world and national situations as well as personal. And just Joy's dad, Ted Wallace, is he on hospice care yet? he's now on. So we just want to keep him in prayer as the family deals with that. That doesn't always mean doom and gloom. It sometimes just means to be taken care of. And so we can pray for Ted. I also need to share with you, last Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, I got a call. My stepdaughter, Sheila, had a stroke. She's down in Alabama. We peaked on Wednesday. I got a call last night from Don, my son-in-law. And so things are not going well right now. So Kelly may get a call that I won't show up someday. We'll have to see how that works out. But we're on sort of a waiting call, so I would ask prayers for her as well. And then, as always, most of the conversation when I wandered around earlier has to do with the weather. So we need to continue to pray for that, for the snow and the frigid cold and how that affects how we live and get around. And there are those who can't get out. Carol's here. It takes a while to get out of the lower Campbell, way down south. It's difficult for some folks to get around, and sometimes. And it's better to be safe than sorry. So there are all lots of things that go on in our lives that we don't always talk about out loud, but we share. So as we get ready to come before God, let us center down a little bit. So I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and let it out. And breathe in, God. And then breathe out. And breathe in. And then breathe out. And breathe in. Almighty and holy God, we have gathered here today, physically present and gathered here in this sanctuary, and those who are with us online as well. And you know our thoughts. And as we now pray, we know whether our minds are focused or whether we move here or there and start thinking about other things. So help us to focus on the individuals and situations that are before us. Sometimes, oh God, our mind runs to those things that worry us and press us down. We think about home or work or someplace else and what we need to do and how we need to get there and how it needs to be taken care of. So allow us now to be still. To feel your presence and to sort out in our mind what pressures and pushes and pulls us. Oh God, we pray you move in our lives this day, that through your word we can hear and believe, through the words we heard read, may we hear the call and follow. Through the Spirit, we may be filled and be called to respond, to be the channel, to be the presence, to be the optic fiber. May the way we live, God, show others what is important to us. But as we have gathered in prayer this day, we have raised before you personal things. So we continue to remember those who are hospitalized, those who are recovering from surgery. There are those among us who are still grieving. There are those who are making decision. There are those who don't know what tomorrow may bring. But we allow your presence to move from our hearts to them, to let them know that they are not alone. So may your Spirit enfold us, not only those of us here, but those who are listening and those who need to know your presence. So when we leave this place, may we be more sensitive to others, more accepting of ourselves, that we may strive to serve rather than be served. Continue to be with those whom we pray, those we have lifted aloud, silently, and ourselves. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ, who has taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
It is well with those who deal generously, the psalmist tells us. They have distributed freely and have given to the poor. Bring your tithes and offerings to participate in the joy of our Creator. Let your light shine so others may see your good works and give glory to God. Our ushers may now come forward.
Oh,
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Generous giver, merciful receiver, accept the fruit of our baptismal vows, affirmed again and again in the choice to be persons of simplicity, humility, wisdom, and righteousness. Accept our offerings, not sackcloth and ashes, to make ourselves feel better for a few minutes, but deep and practical compassion to feed and clothe and house our sisters and brothers for a lifetime. Accept our pledge to be light and salt in every place we live and move, that your realm may be fully revealed here and now. Amen. I'm glad Michael chose that last hymn because it did. The words were to the scripture we read today. Not so sure about the tune. But my dad raised me to say, if you have 500 or 600 hymns in that hymn book, you should sing each one at least once. So we've done this. And it only takes a spark. When you sing it as a camp song, it's a little quicker. But we all knew the words, and you sang it joyfully. We were challenged today. We are the light. We channel that light to others. How do we do it? How do we talk to others? How do we treat others? It's just about being who we are. Continue to share the faith that we have with those who need to hear it, that they too may come to understand the faith we have here. And take a chance. Invite them to come and be with us on Sunday. Until we meet again, let's go in the name of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us go in peace. Amen.